This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And the world can't erase this fantasy. Take a ride in the sky on a ship fantasy.
Welcome back. Before we get Martin involved, I want to tell you about the Gatesworth. Find us in senior living. Looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa. There's no better place than the Gatesworth. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. And if you'd like to be a part of the program, we have the Maryville University text phone lines working. Maryville.edu is the place to go. Check out that incredible campus, town and country. Martin, good to be with you.
Frank, good to be here. Great to see the commish. It's a reminder that you can be in this business for a long time and not become a real cynical jerk. You know, you can kind of enjoy what you do.
Especially now, writers, too.
I think that, yes, he sort of goes against the stereotype.
Shot at Ben Fred.
And it's a little different than us because he's respected. You know, he walks in. I mean, I guess we would, well, Frank's respected, but I'm just, it's when the players see you coming and they don't run the other way, I guess it makes it more fun to do your job.
Especially the managers. You've been around La Russa when, we're not starting this until the commission gets here. Or the commish can ask the same question that maybe you and I could ask, and he'll get a better answer.
Oh, for sure.
He's just the greatest.
My favorite, and I've never really – I need to ask Tony what it was about. It was Matt Weiner, me, a couple of people, post-game, maybe a Saturday, maybe a Sunday, the old Bush. And it was a bad setup. Remember, he'd be at his desk.
Yeah.
And you'd
and
lean
have a
over
plate
the
of food. He'd be looking at the golf tournament on that
Correct.
Sunday, maybe having a beer.
How many sound bites on a Sunday especially – so it's, what, 5 o'clock, right when golf's ending?
Yes.
And we would have our microphones. You're leaning over the desk. And he'd say, oh, yeah, it was a great game. But, whoa, he made the putt. It, right in the middle of the soundbite.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Oh, you're not really paying attention to us. But Matt Weiner leans in with the Channel 5 mic. And Tony said, not talking to 5 today. And Matt,
what
just,
do we do?
Matt just goes, okay, like stepped out, and to this, he knowing Tony probably does remember, but it was something that he was mad about, and that day Channel 5 wasn't allowed in the scrum.
Unbelievable.
And Matt, I'm sure had nothing to do with it, but he took the bullet.
Bush, how about how food was always a part? I'm always amazed by this. Is okay. You have about 7 minutes to talk to the media after the game, and then you have the next 8 hours to eat and drink as much as you want. Do you really have to have Charlie Gito salad with some mustacholi and cheese bread while you're doing the post game?
Right, you couldn't make it another 5-10 minutes.
Can you just wait a little bit? I remember the first time I ever met La Russa, I'm in Lexington, Kentucky, covering the Reds and the A's in the 1990 World Series. And I was amazed that after one of those games, like in between sound bites at the World Series, he's having like plates of pasta. Slow down, buddy.
By the way, Frank, we got another return tonight. Stephen Piscotty back in the, and he'll get a nice ovation.
He will.
And it's interesting. I was talking to the commission about it. These ovations now off the pool this weekend, we've learned who's in charge. Yadier Molina is in charge. Like he'll dictate whether there's an ovation or not because he steps out. It's basically his world, which we already knew. It's just another example how Molina calls all the shots down there.
You know, it'd be interesting. If I'm one of these guys that gets this, I don't do it like Pools and go to the plate right away. I just stand just off. Come on, people. Frank, you're on your feet now.
Frank's got his hand cupped to his ear like, is that it?
Running down the third and first base line, giving that Hulk Hogan, can you hear me?
Forget this, let's play ball. I want the ovation.
Frank's doing a Leslie Nielsen moonwalk behind home plate. Like, come on, folks, come on. No, seeing Piscotty will be great, but obviously there'll be a little ovation, but time to move on. Play some ball. All right, 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Headline, Cardinals not overly concerned about Reyes. Your reaction. That's a headline from today.
Oh, my gosh. That means, yeah.
If I'm Alex,
major pectoral reconstructive surgery. We'll see him in 2020.
If you're Alex Reyes and you see, they go, oh, crap. Now, I'm sure all teams have guys who tweak something, and then a couple days later, to be fair, there's an MRI, and then you find out more. But it does seem they have the majority of these where it's...
Didn't I say that yesterday in the monologue? If the Cardinals say it's not going to be serious, that means 3 or 4 months.
Because on Saturday, I realize you don't know a whole lot, and I think when Hicks came out, they said it might be cramping. But then on Sunday, which is a full 24 hours later, they said tendonitis. And then on Monday, it's a ligament tear. I mean, he might be dead today. I mean, this is not trending well. But apparently the headline says not overly concerned about Reyes. I like to play the due cards. So let me just say, Frank, maybe they're due for one of these optimistic reports to go in their direction. But I wouldn't bet on it.
It's a partial tear and he's back in 3 months?
No, I'm saying with Reyes, maybe they're due for one of these overly optimistic reviews. I guess the alternate comment would be what? Like, we just don't know. Like, it didn't look good, but so far it's okay. I mean, if you're told, if they say, yeah, it's just a little cramping, there's two things going on. Either they're being told the truth and they're trying to kind of soften the blow a little bit, or they're just being told it's okay right now. We don't know anymore.
It's interesting because two people in the know, Rick Hummel and Mike Claiborne, have both told me within the last week he's going to pitch this year for the Cardinals.
Talking about Reyes.
Yeah.
Well, I would say the urgency for him to be part of it went up a notch on Monday. And is there an obvious choice for closer? Can you turn Carlos into your closer? Do you think he could handle that workload? Could you trust him in that? It's sort of intriguing to think about.
See, I don't know if I could do that. Like, let's just say you win 4 games a week, 4 out of 7. I don't know if I could do that 4 games a week. Maybe I could do it 3 or at least a half. I mean, you have options. You have, you know, Andrew Miller and you have Gant and...
So you could do a little committee-ish, yeah. But maybe lean heavily on one guy, maybe Carlos?
Yeah, he'll get first crack.
I mean, I don't hate that idea. All right, Frank, Tom Calhoun, longtime PA man for the Blues, had a suggestion that much like the Cardinals, the Blues start their own Hall of Fame with pictures, memorabilia, and a chance to honor players who maybe aren't hockey Hall of Famers, but who would be Blue Hall of Famers. You know, guys who had great St. Louis careers. I think it's not a bad idea. If you think of Stillman and all they've done to kind of get people fired up just about the overall product.
I love that idea.
Somewhere inside Enterprise, you kind of carve out a little room. Don't you think that rabid fan base would be into that?
Oh, bring the Clydesdales on the ice.
Frank and I would be on the committee, the Blue Ribbon, and we would just go for the lunch.
We'd just be having lunch with Quinville and...
You, me, and Al McKinnis.
And Scotty Bowman.
They'd be like, Chopper, what do you think of his career? Martin and Frank, we'll get to you guys a little later. It's not a bad idea. I guess I didn't realize they don't really have a place where there's collections of memorabilia.
Yeah, there's a St. Louis Amateur Hockey Hall of Fame, which our friend and colleague Cam Jansen is a member of.
I thought you were going to say Strick.
Oh, gosh.
Honorary.
As a contributor.
He donated the $10,000 to get a plaque.
All right, Frank, how rare for a state to have either the reigning MVPs in 3 of the Big 4 sports or somebody who's won one. So Aaron Rodgers
it's all
has,
about Milwaukee.
Now, Aaron Rodgers has been an MVP. Yelich, of course, yeah. The Greek Freak are now reigning MVPs. So I was thinking in St. Louis history, when Pronger won the Hart Trophy in 2000, Marshall Faulk won the MVP that same calendar year. So we actually had 2 NFL, NHL, but I guess baseball that year, we didn't have anything. It's pretty rare when you're going to have all those guys at once.
Like in Boston, when Russell was winning his, did Yaz win one the same year?
Because Yaz was
the
MVP.
Bobby Orr. That could be all 3 in the same year.
I wonder the time frame. I think Yaz, not sound like character, but I think he was 67.
With Triple Crown, hit 301.
Bobby Orr, maybe a little later there. Although Russell, how many did he win? How many MVPs?
I think
handful.
4 or 5.
It is pretty rare.
I'm trying to think, too. In Chicago, did Andre Dawson ever win it with Jordan?
Dawson won it in 87. I think it's pretty rare for those to all kind of match up.
Yeah, you're right.
I did forget that Faulk and Pronger were at the exact same time. All right, number 4. Give me your level of confidence the Cardinals get to 90 wins. Let's just say that that's the barometer to guarantee... You're a wild card team. To guarantee you're a playoff team, 90 probably gets it done. To do that, they would need to go 50-35 the rest of the way.
Yeah, they're not going 50-35 with this group. Now, if Madison Bumgarner's in the equation, maybe, but I still don't think they're 50-35, not this close.
Yeah, if you look at it that way.
No way.
If I said, can you get to 90, you'd probably, your blink would be, maybe. But then when I wrote it down and looked at the numbers, I'm like, wait, that's 50. in 35. Now, they did have a strong second half last year with Schilt. They had a nice bump there. But
a really good April, too. So, I mean, the team, I guess, is...
It's possible.
But none of us would bet they're going 50 and 35.
No, your level of confidence they'll go 50 and 35 the rest of the way is very, very low.
Depending on Matt Carpenter, maybe 10%. I don't know, 10%.
I mean, even to get to 88, can I sell you on 48 and 37? That's 11 over. Okay, so
that doesn't seem that...
That doesn't seem as daunting, does it?
Yeah, but it's only two games.
I said 83 at the beginning of the year, and I think that's where they'll land.
Boy.
I mean, that really, realistically, if you look at the games left, that's about right as far as what the record has been.
Careful, the cat doesn't hear that.
So, according
to the cat and him going at it a little bit today?
I did not. Was that why you started lifting weights? Because you're having a brawl?
You got to set the record straight to a right shoulder sometimes there, Martin.
Did it get heated?
It got a little bit. Me and cat are good buddies. I mean,
they handled it well.
So, your number would mean 43 and 42 the rest of the way. That would get
maybe
you your 80.
A little bit lower, but I could
see the
that
cat's getting
more,
to him.
Yeah. I could see that being more realistic than 50 wins. Though.
All right. Whenever a coach or manager says, "Hey, I know you guys have a job to do," it really means they can't stand us, and it's a trite phrase. True or false? That's what Mickey Callaway, in trying to apologize yesterday for getting into it with the beat writer in New York, he said, "Hey, I know you guys have a job to do." He said that a couple of times. Isn't that just a throwaway line that says, "I don't really have much respect for you, but I know you got to do it anyway"? It felt very... And apparently he apologized after the apology because he said he didn't properly apologize. Have you read any of that New York stuff? That's a mess.
The only reason that he apologized is because he got into trouble. He would not be apologizing unless he was reprimanded.
And apparently the reporter said, "I'll see you tomorrow." Them's fighting words. And then Vargas, the reliever, stepped up and said, "I will knock you the blank out." And apparently, now I'm sure the New York guys have probably written some snarky things, but apparently all he said was, "I'll see you tomorrow." And that was it. Hey, you guys have a job to do. All right, coming up, a little soccer talk. Frank, you want me to break down the World Cup, or do you want Bill McDermott to break it down?
Tough call, because actually you admitted that you actually didn't. You're the only Catholic person I know that didn't play soccer growing up in St. Louis.
I did not. And I've got Carson's a couple of years in now, but he's on the fence. He's talking about quitting.
Oh, no.
We had a very heated discussion one day. I was at work. He was on his way to practice crying. Mom says, "Talk to your dad." We're yelling on the phone. He said, "Dad, I don't like soccer." And I said, "Nobody does, but we do it anyway." And I slammed the phone down. Zach Choate, college soccer player, sitting next to me said, "Did you just say that?" I'm like, "Well, you know what I mean." Basically just saying, suck it up and do it.
One quick thought. You mentioned how the commish still has this wonderful rapport and outlook on life and baseball. Somebody just texted in, "Worst curmudgeon writer," and then it was Bill Conlon. I'm telling you.
Oh, yes.
And then, do you remember what happened at the end of his life where he was charged and I think found guilty of child molestation? Let me see. He resigned from sports writing position just hours prior to the publication of allegations of child molestation. Yeah. One of Conlon's accusers was his niece, a prosecutor in Atlantic City, New Jersey. The claims of abuse were first reported to the police in 2009 when she became concerned for the safety of Conlon's other young relatives. Three more people later claimed they'd been abused by Conlon. He was a guest of this program a couple times, and he was always, and you'd see him on TV, the worst, stereotypical.
If you were doing Hollywood, central casting for sort of a curmudgeon slob writer, it would have been Bill Conlon. And he was in Sporting News every week too, right? Didn't he have a column in there?
Oh, yeah.
And even the kind of like sketching of him, he looked a little ragged.
Yeah, and he had those darker, you know, those glasses that were clear. I always wondered why people... I don't know. Maybe.
He belonged in Philly, though. That's for sure, didn't he? It just like if he was the beat writer in Detroit, it wouldn't have been the same. The fact he was out of Philly made it even better. Yeah, I would say curmudgeon Hall of Fame, Bill Conlon's first ballot.
All right, let's take a break. Bill McDermott, when we come back.